Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity. The life expectancy of the Russian male is around 60 years old. The population is shrinking.
Well, our commander-in-chief took time out last week to tell us about how horrible Russia was, increased the tensions with Russia. I spent the good portion of yesterday's show talking about the insanity of the president of the United States of America attacking Russia, who should be our natural ally, by the way, against the Islamo-fascists, not only in the Sunni Triangle, but around the world. But instead of pointing out the dangers of Islamo-fascism, instead of pointing out the dangers of these 40,000 poor souls trapped on a mountaintop in Iraq, he entertains warlords and mass murderers in the White House last night. This is astounding. Not one word from the gay community, not one word from the so-called feminist community. He entertains some of Africa's worst slime in our White House. Did you understand what I just said to you? Our president of the United States invited some of the most despicable vermin on the planet into the White House for a state dinner. People who have massacred thousands, killed homosexuals, mutilated women. And you didn't say a word, you activist, did you? Not one word from the Ellens amongst you. Not one word from the gay activists amongst you. Not one word that is ever directed to this president, no matter what he does. And now we wake up and we find out that there are 40,000 poor people trapped on a mountaintop in Iraq because of Obama's failed policies in Iraq. Yes, I blame it on Obama because he withdrew troops too quickly and he did not leave a force behind sufficient to protect the Sunni Triangle. And by the way, let me give you a little more history about what's going on over there. You hear the acronym ISIS like they're nice people. ISIS sounds like ice cream, right? They're the most brutal murderers on the planet, but they're in a long tradition of Mohammedans going back 1,000 years. You see, the way the Mohammedans took over a good portion of the world was not through the teachings of love and peace in their holy book, but through the use of small armies, usually of 1,000 or fewer in number, who conquered one group after another with the most brutal imaginable horrors. That's exactly what they're doing now. They're in the great tradition of the Mohammedans of the past, and we're doing nothing. So we wake up today and see this 40,000 Yazidi, which is a small religious sect, an ancient religion that is linked to Zoroastrianism, and of course, it doesn't matter what they're linked to. The U.S. is now saying they're weighing airstrikes or humanitarian aid to these people dying on a hilltop. They're dying, they have no water, they have no food, and he's entertaining African warlords in the White House with a state dinner. What's he waiting for? Do you support bombing of ISIS to save those trapped in Iraq, yes or no? That's the question to open the show with. Do you support, or would you support, the United States of America using air power to save the 40,000 people on a hilltop in Iraq, yes or no? Right now, they are the Yazidi. They have been decimating Christians. That is the ISIS group. The Sunni Islamic fascists have been killing Christians, blowing up churches. They're armed with United States weapons, which they seize. But there's another thing you should know. These are the rebels. These are the rebels from Syria that Obama and McCain have wanted to arm to overthrow Assad. Did you know that? All this talk about arming the rebels over the last year or two was arming ISIS. Did you know that? You didn't know that, right? Because your newspaper didn't connect the dots for you. These are the rebels that McCain has been foaming at the mouth to arm for well over a year and a half to overthrow Assad. These are the rebels that Obama has probably secretly armed through the CIA in Syria. You say, well, they captured most of this weaponry. Did they capture it all, or was some of it given to them by the CIA in order to overthrow Assad? Is this another example of this college crowd gone wild? Is this yet another example of the college girls around Obama who have never fired a Daisy BB gun, now taking over the military and decimating the world and doing everything wrong? It would be laughable if it was a comic strip. But this is not a comic strip. It's a world spinning out of control. And while it's going on, President Zero entertains dictators, homophobes, and monsters from Africa at a state dinner. At the same time, he's threatening Russia. Now he's considering airstrikes to save these poor people in Iraq. And so the people of America they're spinning, their head's spinning. They don't know what to do. They don't know which way to turn. And I ask you, the people, to sound off in the beginning of the show. You've got 40,000 innocent people who have run from the Islamo-fascist friends of John McCain and Barack Obama. And I say that on purpose because maybe you'll wake up to the fact that either they didn't know what they were talking about or they're crazier than you think. Did you hear what I just said? These people, the so-called ISIS fighters in the Sunni triangle, are either the cousins of or the very same people called the rebels in Syria who've been trying to overthrow Assad. So does that open up a bigger picture for you? Do you understand why the world is in such turmoil? Do you understand that the college girls around Obama may not know a damn thing about the world in which they're operating? They've seized power, they have absolute power, and they're like Pol Pot right now. They have absolute power, but they don't know how to use it. Instead, they're using it in the wrong way. So I'm asking you, would you agree or not agree? Let's forget how the Yazidi wound up on the mountaintop. Let's put that aside. There's 40,000 of them trapped on a mountain. Do you think America should bomb the Islamo-fascists at the foot of the mountain, yes or no? Bob on KSFO in San Francisco, go ahead, please.
The Bush's war. We have no business being in the Middle East. We need to quarantine the Middle East, tell NATO and China.
So in other words, you would say let them die, let the 40,000 die on a mountaintop.
Kill each other. They've been doing it for thousands of years.
So, in other words, they're blowing up churches and they're killing Christians. That doesn't bother you either.
They've been doing it for thousands of years. They're going to keep...
Wait. Hold on. Don't give me such a cavalier statement because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Please, don't give me one of these statements that you throw out in a cafe in San Francisco where people would think you're a genius. There have been churches there for 1,800 years that are just blown up. What do you mean they've been doing it for 1,000 years? The church was there for 1,800 years. So how could they have been doing it for thousands of years?
Anyway.
No, you seem to not understand what's going on. There's something new here. Many of you believe that you know everything with pat statements that have no meaning whatsoever. There were Muslims and there were Christians and there were other religions. And they sort of got along for a long period of time. But there is a new virulent strain of Islam that is now raging not only in Iraq but around the world. Do you understand that?
The war is Bush's war.
So the people should die, in other words, because it's Bush's war?
It's not our concern.
You're a very good humanitarian, so you don't believe in rescuing the 40,000 people. Every man, woman, and child should die because it's Bush's war. Is that your position? Is that your position? Is that your actual position? Or are you doing it just to try to sound like a wise guy? All right, I heard you. You're an idiot. That's all. Just another dummy from San Francisco. No matter what you say to them, they'll tell you it's Bush's war. KCMO. Cheryl, maybe you have a more rational view of the situation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, two things. My son, he's a retired SEAL, and he didn't fight there for nothing. And second of all, if we don't stop these, you know what, now we never will.
Correct. See, my position is quite simple. They need to be wiped off the planet now. They need to be annihilated. They need to be atomized. Anything necessary to kill them now and kill their leadership now. They will take over the world. I am a student of history. I know how Islam spread around the world. I know how it went from a minority religion and took over such a large swath of the world well over 1,000 years ago. I know exactly how it was done. It's being done right now by ISIS. Do you understand that? I'm sure you may understand it, but apparently idiots like that jerk from San Francisco doesn't understand it.
Most people do not understand.
They don't understand the dangers of the Islamofascists. They have no idea who they are. If you looked at a map of the world, and you looked at the Muslim Empire at the death of Muhammad in 632, and then you look at the map of the world in 656, you'll see in 25 years they took over a good portion of, they took over Persia, now Iran, they took over Arabia, they took over Egypt, they took over Syria, they took over Armenia. And how did they do it? They didn't use tanks. It was one of the most amazing stories of conquest in the history of the human race. And this army that we are talking about today is a direct descendant of these monsters. And they did it through small armies of 1,000. Small armies that went in and decimated the entire populations of cities. They made one attack after another, and they so frightened the population that they converted to the religion of peace. And that is how Persia became Muslim. That is how Arabia became Muslim. That is how Egypt became Muslim. That is how much of Armenia became Muslim. That is how Spain almost became Muslim. Not through the word of God, not through the word and the teachings of Jesus, not through peace, but through death and fire. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
The latest information is that ISIL has advanced on Mosul Dam and taken control of it. We are extremely concerned by this development. The dam is a vital part of Iraq's infrastructure as it controls water levels on the Tigris River. It is also a key source of water and electricity generation for the Iraqi people.
See, another college chick is telling us what's going on. They changed it from ISIS to ISIL now. In case you already came to hate ISIS, they changed it overnight to ISIL. That sort of sounds like icicle, something friendly, without telling you who they really are. But again, a college chick. I mean, they must be shaking in their boots, given the president's constant partying, the entertainment of warlords and mass murderers in the White House last night, and now a college chick talking about the dangers to this displaced minority people on the mountaintop in Iraq. I'm sure they're shaking in their boots when they hear the college girls talk about using doing something. We don't know what yet. But we'll think about it. After all, it's only a countdown to Martha's Vineyard is very close now. I think the countdown has started, and they need to wrap this up as quickly as possible before they flood America with 30 million illegal aliens. But if you look at the history of the world and how fast Mohammedism took over the world, you have to understand how it was done. I keep repeating it to you. They didn't do it with nuclear weapons. They did it with small armies, as I told you. It was small armies of 1,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 Arabs. Little armies, according to the letters written by Muhammad himself from Medina in 628. He set out, Muhammad set out, by the way, to organize the subjugation of the entire world to Islam. Did you hear what I said? Because if you don't understand this, you are really condemned. You're condemned to a horrendous fate. If you don't understand what war we have been in for 30 years now or more, if you don't understand why Johnny came marching home with broken legs or no arms and you send money to the wounded warriors, God bless you if you do, and you don't know who they were fighting, then we're in worse shape, infidels, than I could ever imagine. Yep. The whole world is at the risk of being subjugated to Mohammedans right now. Right now, France is in the throes of an Islamic takeover. Jews are fleeing France because they brought in Algerians to do the dirty work 30 years ago. And the sons of these workers, does it sound familiar in America? Pay attention. They brought in cheap labor from Algeria and Northern Africa in France 30 years ago to do the dirty work that the Frenchmen wouldn't do. And the sons of these Frenchmen don't want to work. Instead, they want to turn Paris into the hellhole they ran away from. And so who do they pick on first? The Jews. Instead of Germans marching to the Horst Wessel song, you've got Muslims marching to their own drummer. And now in America, what is it? Well, we have nothing to worry about. After all, France is a smaller country. It has 6.5 million Muslims. But what's the rate of immigration of Muslims into this country? And how many of them will be radical Islamists? You think the government knows? How many Muslims are being led into this country per year by this administration? How many radical Islamists are coming over the border with Barack Obama's open-door policy to the Mexican border? How many members of Al-Qaeda have already snuck into this country as a result of this administration's insanity? No one has an answer to that. So now you look at the whole world, and you say the world is in flames. What is going on? You can't follow it all. Well, I can follow most of it. I can follow most of it. You could summarize it quite simply. No matter where you look, radical Islam is engaged in a new crusade. They are engaged in a worldwide crusade, including in this country. Sometimes they act through political means. Sometimes they act through military means. But they do act. And they're relentless. And they've never stopped since Muhammad was born. And that is what the West is facing today. A house divided cannot stand. And the reason we're not standing is because we're divided. We've been divided by the most divisive president in American history. So let's put aside the generics and let's talk about specifics. You have a group of religious minorities called the Yazidi trapped on a mountaintop in Iraq. The Sunni Islamo-fascists who are threatening to annihilate them unless they convert to Islam are armed with United States weapons, some of which they seized because Obama withdrew from Iraq too precipitously. And some weapons were given to them in Syria by the CIA in a surreptitious action that you don't even know anything about. They are the cousins of the rebels that McCain, the foaming mouth madman, has been screaming we should arm for well over a year now. Rebels? These are the rebels. Here they are. You're looking at the face of the rebels. Well, now they have 40,000 poor people trapped in a mountaintop. Now, I don't know whether Obama is up yet for the day. I know he had a big party last night with African murderers and homophobes. Let's see, it's 3:30. He might be getting up now. Maybe you ought to turn on the TV and see the people trapped on a mountaintop. And then maybe you ought to consult with Susan Rice and see what he ought to do.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Obama's Monsters Ball, how the White House opened its doors to some of Africa's most evil dictators and homophobes and turned a blind eye to their human rights record. I read this last night on the Drudge Report. My mouth fell open. Leaders were invited to the White House for the first ever U.S.-Africa summit. Included in our White House were dictators and despots with shocking human rights record. Obama's speech barely acknowledged the oppression rife across Africa. Did you hear that? And yet in the midst of this, Obama said that we have a bad human rights problem here in America. The red carpet was rolled out by your president for Equatorial Guinea's Teodoro Obiang Nguema Mazongo, who shot or jailed virtually all of his political opponents. In our White House, Michelle and Barry wined and dined Gambia's Yahya Jammeh, who threatened to cut off the head of any homosexuals in the country. They wined and dined Cameroon's Paul Biya, who has the dubious honor of ranking 19th on the list of the world's 20 worst living dictators. Many of these despots were later photographed in the White House, posing for individual portraits with Obama and Michelle. The president's speech avoided the issues of homophobia and torture. Instead, he started out with similarities between Africa and the U.S. And he talked about his blood, his African blood. That's fine to have African blood, but I don't think he has dictatorial blood in his veins. Let's hope not. Pictured outside the White House, waving and grinning with his wife, was President Obiang of Equatorial Guinea, Africa's longest-serving dictator, after seizing power from his uncle, who used to hang regime critics from the Capitol streetlights in 1979. How do you feel about your president inviting these jackals from Africa to the White House? You think this is appropriate? President Blaise Compaoré with First Lady Chantal Compaoré of Burkina Faso seized power in a bloody coup. How do you feel about these throwback despots being wined and dined by Michelle Obama and Barack Obama? Angolan President José Eduardo dos Santos, human rights groups claim his government has murdered thousands. President of Gambia, Yahya Jammeh, with his wife, First Lady Zindab Jammeh. Do you know who he is? How do you feel about these throwback despots wining and dining in the White House? Feel good about that? Do you think it's a mark of multiculturalism that the president would host such superb examples of the human condition? Listen to clip number five before we go on to the issue in Iraq. Clip five.
Tonight we are making history, and it's an honor to have all of you here.
An honor?
And I stand before you as the President of the United States and a proud American. I also stand before you as the son of a man from Africa. The blood of Africa runs through our family. And so for us, the bonds between our countries, our continents, are deeply personal.
Listen to clip eight. This is the President of the United States who the other day said Russia doesn't make anything. Listen to clip eight.
And even among countries that generally have strong human rights records, there are areas where there are problems. That's true of the United States, by the way.
We've warned you for years about the moral equivalency of the Marxists in the universities. We've warned you for years about the moral equivalency of the American leftist media, where they would hold up a criminal, and then on the same split screen they would show you the cop who arrested the murderer, and give you the moral equivalency as though both opinions were equal. They'd show you the rapist and the rape victim and ask you to make a decision. This is what happens with the meltdown, how a society melts down. If you don't understand how we got to this point, I'll help you figure it out. It's the leftist vermin in the media who did this to this country. It's the leftists in the media who destroyed the mind of America and have now brought us to our knees around the world. So now we're considering airstrikes in Iraq to save 40,000 innocent people. I hope he does it. I don't know if he will. I don't even know if he's up yet. He had a big night last night at the Africa Leaders Summit. And he had a lot of people to hobnob with. And, you know, he had to entertain them. He recalled his ancestral roots during the Africa Summit toast. So I know he had at least one glass of wine. And I don't know whether he can hold his liquor or not. I mean, he may have had a long night and he may not want to be bothered with the world's problems today. After all, he's got to get packed for Martha's Vineyard. A lot of packing to be done to meet the billionaires and zillionaires who he castigates on a daily basis. This would all be humorous if it was simply a cartoon. But it isn't a cartoon. What's happening in the world is the world is falling apart because of this administration. You know that. So, okay, I'm talking to the converted. What good does it do to talk about it? Does it help anything to talk about it? Well, then let's make it very pragmatic. You've got 40,000 innocent members of a religious minority group stuck on a mountain in Iraq because ISIS, meaning the Sunni Islamo-fascists, took over Iraq, probably with U.S. weapons that they not only seized but were given. Again, some of them are the rebels from Syria that Obama and McCain have wanted to arm for over a year and a half. So there's no reason to assume that we didn't give them some of these weapons, which is why Obama's dragging his heels. You see, you don't understand this. If it was as clear as let's bomb the rebels at the foot of the mountain and free the people, it would have been done now. But it's not as clear as that. It's because there's other elements involved in this. Some of these so-called ISIS rebels may be our allies in some way, in some wars, in some places, such as in Syria. And so you don't want to kill our allies. They're our allies against Assad. Maybe they'll be our allies in the war against Russia. Maybe they'll be Obama's allies in a future war against Israel. And you don't want to blow up good American weapons, which may be needed in a war against Israel later on. So what you have to do is have a long lunch, a late lunch, and think about it. Like, how do we make ourselves look like we care about this issue without actually blowing up any weapons or killing anybody? That's what they're thinking about. They're not thinking about whether or not to bomb to save the 40,000 trapped on a mountain top in Iraq. They're thinking about how to actually look like they're doing it without actually doing it. So, yeah, we have a real problem here. How do you feel about this? Should we bomb or not bomb? WABC, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Doc. We should annihilate them. We should wipe them off the planet.
All right, that sounds good, but how do you do that? They're mainly a guerrilla army. How do you wipe a guerrilla army off the planet?
Just carpet bomb them. The idiot in the White House has his priorities mixed up. He's worried about little things like Russia when he should be worried about something like this.
Yeah, and by the way, what just came out of Ukraine is very intriguing. You know about Malaysian Air being blown up in the sky, what, 2 weeks ago now? And they blame Russia for it? Your friends in Ukraine just shot down a Russian fighter plane with the very same missiles. The very same missile system that brought down the Malaysian airliner was just used by your Ukrainian friends to shoot down a Russian fighter jet over Ukrainian airspace. Does that give you pause in your rush to judgment saying Russia shot the plane down? Could it be that Putin was right, that your Ukrainian friends shot down Malaysian Air and tried to blame it on Russia? Don't rush to judgment so quickly. No, my friends, it's a very sad time in the United States of America. Dictators and human rights offenders wined and dined by this president? As an American, I want to tell you this. I never voted for this man. I did not vote for this clown. I try to warn you not to vote for him. I have no bonds to the filth that he had into the White House last night. I wonder why these statesmen were not seized last night and brought to the Hague to stand trial in the world court. They were all in the one place at one time. Why were some of these guests of the White House not seized and brought to The Hague? Well, it's very simple. It's because they're saving The Hague for those of us who oppose the New World Order. What was the purpose of the Africa Summit? Tell me what it is. The U.S. is now at war with Russia and China. It's not a hot war yet, but it's a war with Russia and China. So what is it that Obama thinks he's doing by cozying up to these African warlords, dictators, murderers, and homophobes? What is he actually trying to do? Can you figure that one out? While you're figuring that one out, let's talk about these people on a mountaintop, because they'll be dead in a few days if something isn't done. We don't know Yazidis from Zidi. I never heard of Yazidis. I knew what Zidi was. Now he is Yazidi. What does it mean? It doesn't matter what it means. They're 40,000 religious minorities who the Islamo-fascists want to kill. It's that simple. So what are we supposed to do about this? Where's the U.S. Congress? Tell me where they are. Tell me where the Republicans are. Tell me where the gutless, useless Republicans are. Tell me where the drunks are. What are they, getting a suntan in Jacksonville? Where are they? Where are these stupid drunks in the Republican Party? Where are they? Tell me. You'd expect this behavior from Democrats, but where are the Republicans? Tell me, where are they? WJR Mitch, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes, I believe we should knock out ISIS now. We should have already done it in the past when they were taking over cities. But Obama was just putting his thumbs and toes, not doing anything about it. And he seems to have a heart for the radicals and the killers and not for the people he should be.
Yep, you know. I agree, right. He seems to have an affinity for the warlord murderers, you know. WABC Joel, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your opinion, go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike, I'm going to refer to the Yazidis. There's a city in Iran even today. It's called Yazd. Now, these people, of course, there's a small minority of them living in Iran, in Yazd and elsewhere, and many of them who escaped the Islamic invasion of Iran, etc., they fled to India, and they are known as Parsis in India. And these Yazidis, according to their faith, they cannot convert. If they do convert into Islam, they will go to hell. And one more point about Russia, by the way. I think Russia should become a member of NATO. Why is Russia not a member of NATO? They need a buffer zone as a result because of Poland and Czech Republic and etc. All these countries are being invited to become a member if they're not already members, and then you have Turkey on the border of Russia. So why isn't Russia our natural ally in World War I and II?
That's right. Russia is our natural ally, but we have someone who is not our natural ally in the White House. Russia is the natural ally of America, but Obama is not the natural ally of America. He's the natural ally of dictatorships. That's why. How's that? It's worse than anyone thinks. I think it's far worse than anyone listening to the show could ever imagine. Here you have Islamofascists who have killed many thousands, decapitating them, declaring a caliphate in the area they have conquered, threatening the northern Iraq region of Kurdistan, which was once considered a stable area in a country ravaged by conflict. They've just knocked out the Kurdish army in that area. Now the Kurds are begging Washington for arms or other military help, and that foaming-mouthed psychotic John McCain has nothing to say when the Kurds are screaming for help. Why? Why is the United States standing on the sidelines? Tell me why. Because they want Kurdistan not to become an independent nation. Your country does not want the Kurds to have an independent nation, so they won't help the Kurds. They want them to be brought into the fold of Iraq. I realize this is too complicated for most of us, and it's really too much to carry around, especially on an August day. I get it. So we have to now go to the bigger picture. 40,000 members of a religious minority community are trapped on a mountaintop in Iraq. They're starving to death, and they have no drinking water. We're doing nothing. France is doing nothing. Germany is doing nothing. The British are doing nothing. No one's doing anything. The UN, of course, is nothing but a group of, let me not even say what I think of the UN. They're doing nothing. Why are they doing nothing? What does the UN exist for? What, for partying in Manhattan and buying prostitutes and smuggling diamonds and gold back and forth? Bringing in African ivory under the guise of a diplomatic pouch? That's all they're good for. They're smugglers. The whole UN is filled with smugglers and I have nothing but contempt for them. Nothing. They do nothing when you need them. Where are they? UN, a really useful group. United nincompoops sitting there on the East River. The question is, what do you do about radical Islam, which is now making moves all over northern Iraq? Now, the good news is that they're all in one area, and they have a leader. Remember we were told we can't fight radical Islam because we don't know who they are? Remember that lie for 10 years? And when Bush tried to do it, all of you leftists screamed that he was doing the wrong thing? Well, he had the right idea. He did the best he could, given the shadowy nature of the enemy, especially the enemy within. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. And nowhere to run, except if you're Michelle Obama, you don't have to hide. You just openly show your gratitude on a daily basis. And you really show who you are by who you invite to your house. I mean, don't you exhibit who you are by who your friends are? Don't you exhibit what your values are by who your friends are? So when the President of the United States invites African murderers, homophobes, butchers into the White House, we have to assume there's a reason for it. And the reason is chilling. It's quite chilling because there's not been a note in any of the newspapers about who was invited there except in British newspapers. It's amazing to me when you look at a thing like this. Alabama, Celia, what do you think about the president's monster ball last night?
I think he had the greatest time of his life. He was among his peers. They love him. He loves them.
He said he loved them. He said he was glad to be around them.
I know.
And he said to butchers that the United States also has problems with human rights, sort of where we have a moral equivalency to their countries.
Sir, we have trouble with him. He is absolutely beyond despicable.
All right. There's nothing more we can say. But the problem is, where are the Republicans? Where is the Supreme Court? Where are the newspapers? Where are the people? When is there going to be an uprising in America to stop this madness? When will there be an uprising to finally put a stop to the madness of this administration? I didn't say a violent uprising, did I? The left has done an awful lot without violence. Yet they can organize, and look what they gave us. Look what they gave us through their ability to organize. Take a look at what they foisted upon this great nation. Take a look at what went on in the White House last night. The Monster's Ball.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Tonight we are making history. And it's an honor to have all of you here. You know, I stand before you as the President of the United States and a proud American. I also stand before you as the son of a man from Africa. The blood of Africa runs through our family. And so for us, the bonds between our countries, our continents, are deeply personal. And also with us are the words of a song, New Africa, that have inspired so many across the continent and that Michelle and I first heard last year in Senegal. Come together, New Africa. Work together. Keep on working for Africa. And so I propose a toast to the New Africa, the Africa that is rising and so full of promise, and to our shared task to keep on working for the peace and prosperity and justice that all our people seek and that all our people so richly deserve.
How do you feel about the Obama's African Monsters Ball in the White House last night? How do you feel about the fact that the White House opened its doors to some of Africa's most evil dictators and homophobes and turned a blind eye to the human rights record? Welcome to hour number two of the Savage Nation. There's only one newspaper that covered this story. The Mail Online out of UK got the pictures of the monsters that Michelle and Barry so loved last night. Dictators and despots with shocking human rights records. Obama's speech barely recognizing the oppression in their countries. The red carpet was rolled out for some of the worst people on the planet. Most of the leaders were later photographed in the White House posing for individual portraits with Michelle and Barack Obama. Obama did not say one word about homophobia and torture. Instead, he sought out similarities between the two continents. And if you look at the list of some of the monsters that he invited, your hair will stand up. Take a look at one of them, for example, President Obiang of Equatorial Africa, Africa's longest-serving dictator. He seized power in 1979. And what has he done to maintain power? He has shot or jailed virtually all political opponents and ruled the country with an iron fist. And despite running one of Sub-Sahara's biggest oil-producing countries and amassing a personal fortune in excess of $600 million, the average income of his citizens, Mr. Obama, is $2 a day. Few in that country, Mr. Obama, I know you were concerned about the lifespan of Russians, but few in the country of your good friend, President Obiang of Equatorial Africa, few in his nation live beyond 53 years of age. 20% of his children die before they reach 5 years of age. There is no freedom of the press there, Mr. Obama. Is that why you like him so much? There is is only one television station that's government-run, Mr. Obama. Is that why you have an empathy with him? This is a nightmare, but it gets even worse. It gets much worse than that. Even the French seized his 101-room Paris mansion, a collection of cars and other luxury assets, yet he was invited to the White House. The man has a $30 million mansion in Malibu. He has a $38 million Gulfstream jet, etc., and so on. Didn't stop Obama from partying with him last night. But he's only one of the monsters. There are many others that were invited to the African Monsters Ball last night. And if you'd like to see the pictures of these superb individuals who were invited to sully our White House with their presence, they can be found on many websites, including mine, michaelsavage.com. Here's one of President Obama shaking hands with Gambia's Yahya A.J. Jammeh. Who is he in the big white robe? The man who looks like he weighs 400 pounds of sheer iron. Who is the monster? We don't know. Well, he's been accused by the UN of breaches of human rights. He threatened to cut off the head of any homosexuals in the country. The following year, it was reported up to 1,000 Gambians had been abducted by the government on charges of witchcraft, and they were taken to his prisons and forced to drink poison. Last night, he was drinking Chardonnay with the President of the United States. Good morning, everyone. Michelle and I were honored to host you and your wonderful spouses at dinner last night. I hope people didn't stay out too late. This morning, we continue our work, and it's my privilege to welcome you to the first ever U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit. While this is going on, there are 40,000 members of a religious minority trapped on a mountaintop in Iraq because the so-called ISIS group, which are Sunni Islamofascists, cousins of the rebels that the U.S. has probably been surreptitiously funding in Syria to overthrow Assad, along with John McCain, who has been screaming to arm and fund the rebels. Remember that? About a year and a half now. Well, these are the same rebels that are now trapping religious minorities on a mountaintop in Iraq. So the question today is, if Obama were to, well, let's say, wake up today from the big day he had yesterday, the big dinner, a lot of Chardonnay went around, and wake up to the plight of these individuals, and he said, okay, we're offering air power, would you support bombing of these monsters on the bottom of that mountain to save those trapped on the mountaintop in Iraq, yes or no? 855-407-282. Welcome to hour number two of the Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers. Let's go to Debian on the Internet. Debian, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Dr. Savage. My name is Vivian. And you often mention Iraq and other religions. I happen to be Iraqi, but Jewish. And in 1948, there used to be 150,000 Iraqi Jews. And they pretty much left Iraq, very much like the Yazidis.
Yes, but the Jews were able to leave Iraq. The Yazidis are threatened to be wiped out by them right now. We can still do something to save them.
They also wipe out a lot of Iraqi Jews in Baghdad.
Wait, I understand that, but when were the Jews wiped out in Baghdad?
They weren't wiped out. A lot of them left. They had to...
I understand, but Debian, we're not talking about the past, which we cannot do anything about. We're talking about the present, which we can do a lot about. And I'm asking the audience if they would support bombing of the Islamofascists to save those trapped on the mountaintop. That's all I'm saying. And I want to know why he's reaching out to Africa. Why is he looking so weird? Why does he have that weird look on his eyes? Something's wrong. Look at the picture of Obama toasting the African monsters that he had in the White House. Take a look at how his face changes. You know, Obama's somewhat of a chameleon. There are many faces, you know that, the man of a thousand faces. The smiley face that you see in America is not the smiley face that we saw as he toasted his friends from Africa last night. It's an eerie picture. Something's wrong if you look at it very carefully. Sandy, what do you think about the picture of Obama toasting his African friends?
Well, I know you've been talking about the president's appearance of late, and the picture of him toasting these thugs at the Monster Ball looks like he's possessed.
Possessed with what?
Demons.
I don't know about demons. I mean, what do you mean by demons? What are demons?
It's just the look in his eye. It's like he's where he needs to be with these people who are thugs.
Yeah, I don't mind an Africa summit, but why have such lowlifes there? Why have monsters, dictators, murderers? Why do you invite them? Why doesn't he invite the good of Africa there instead of the bad? Well, what is this about? Why would he reach out to some of the worst scum on the planet? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. WABC Louis, would you support bombing the Islamofascists at the foot of that mountain to save those at the top of the mountain?
Yes, Uncle Mike, I do support getting rid of the gene pool. The more and more gene pool we can get rid of that part of the country, the better for us it is in the future. And I didn't know Halloween was on August 7th, 2014. I thought America always Halloween was on October 31st. Anyway, Michael, back in the plague days, the enemies, when they used to strike the people, they used to use all kind of weaponry. Well, the Black Plague was back then too, Michael, also. And they used to use these big throwing bodies. They put the bodies on a cantaloupe.
Yes, I discussed that on Tuesday during our discussion of Ebola. The Mongols were known for taking infected bodies and catapulting them over the city walls to infect entire cities. And so what's your point?
Over here in New Jersey, too, we grow these lovely tomato plants. And as I was cutting the brushes and the hedges, I got stung by a hornet. I said, okay, you got me today, but tomorrow I went out with a machete and I cut the beehive, I cut the hive off. And that killed the queen. And the next day they kept hanging around until they figured the queen wasn't there, and then they bugged out and left. That's a scenario what we should do over there. We should get the head of the ISIS, whoever that guy is, and I'm telling you, the rest will fall down like dominoes, Michael.
Well, right, it's the Indian chief. They say he's the new Osama bin Laden. He has a name and he has a face. They know who he is, and they probably don't know where he is. The question is why they don't take him out. I don't understand that. Do you?
I don't, Michael. And I also...
I do. I actually do understand it. Why is Obama vacillating? The reason Obama... In other words, this is a no-brainer. Of course we should kill ISIS if we could save the people. So you ask yourself why he's not doing it. The answer is because in some way they're his allies in some other manipulation that he's involved in, probably in his desire to overthrow Assad. That's why. In other words, they're not all... You see, you don't understand this. The reason the U.S. military hasn't been used yet is because they really are ally in some ways. You say, well, they're not happy with them killing innocent people. They went a little too far in blowing up churches and Christians. But, you know, they may be our ally, is the thinking amongst the college girls who run America. You see, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse inside the White House probably figure that some of these guys in ISIS will be useful in the war against Assad, so why kill them? They may need them. They may need them in Syria. They may need them in other places. I mean, Israel's been a thorn in Obama's bonnet. I mean, Israel's tied up now with Hamas. They've expended a lot of their weaponry and their political capital in their war against Hamas owing to the bias of the press. So you never know. I mean, you know, look, ISIS could be used there some way, you know, a little bit on the other side of the border. You never know how you could use such allies, especially if you're not Lawrence of Arabia. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
We can't waste the spotlight. It is temporary, and life is short, and change is needed. And women are smarter than men.
This is what comes out of the White House every day. I mean, it would be amusing if it wasn't frightening. This is what passes for the First Lady. This is what goes on every day of the week. I mean, every day you're shocked by what you see and hear. You got the Islamo-fascists on the warpath around the world. Now they have 40,000 trapped on a mountaintop while Obama drinks wine with African monsters. Not one word about what they're doing over there. The Islamo-fascists are rising up around the world. Around the world. And they're just biding their time here in this country, by the way. So I ask you the same question. I mean, we'll move on. Yesterday I had an interview with Dr. Cohen on U.S. versus Russia. If you missed it, you're lucky because I have an MP3 of it, a soundbite on michaelsavage.com. It's really a great interview. I don't know how long it is, 13 minutes, 12 minutes. And he's a world's expert. He's a man who voted for Obama twice, by the way. I didn't vote for him once. And an expert on Russia. And yet I think we were in accord on almost everything that was said on the program. He's bewildered by Obama's actions towards Russia. He doesn't know who's advising him, nor does he understand why he's doing the things he's doing towards Russia. So if you want to catch that interview, it's on my website, michaelsavage.com. It's an incredibly important one. Let's go to some callers. Chris on the net, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. I just believe that this is not the United States business in the Middle East. I think that as opposed to, you know, having a war between us. See, I think that the situation needs to be long-term. and that we need a Pope Urban as opposed to, you know, a president in the United States. I think that this is, if it's going to be a religious war, and if it's going to be the case.
Wait, sir, it is a religious war. They're fighting a religious war. They want to impose Islam on the world. That you know, correct?
And yes, and that's why I'm saying that we need somebody like Pope Urban in the First Crusades to fight them if this is going to be the case. We need a pope right now, or a religious leader with an iron fist that's prepared to defend Christians in the Middle East and everywhere around the world if this is the case.
Yes, but I agree with you on the Christians. They're being decimated while Obama parties with monsters. I get that. He did nothing. But now the Islamo-fascist monsters have taken over a good portion of northern Iraq. They've taken over a portion of the Kurds territory. They've taken over much of the western region of Syria, thanks to the help of the United States in arming them, by the way. They're all the way to Aleppo right now. What should be done now? Never mind waiting for a pope to arise. What needs to be done now?
Well, then Christians around the world need to begin to form a military to fight these guys. If it's going to be a guerrilla war, you're going
to... Well, you see, there used to be a military that was religious in a certain sense until the atheists and the fascists took over America, and they expunged all religion from the military even before battle. They didn't let men pray before going into battle. They didn't let them take out their Bibles before going into battle. They don't let them hold their crosses before going into battle. They've made America safe for what? Just exactly what are men fighting for? For oil interests? Do they have any idea what they're fighting for anymore? I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. But I agree with you. There has to be some clarity on this issue. Either we stand together or we'll all fall together. Either the world's religions stand up against the Islamo-fascists, or you'll all be praying to Mecca on a prayer rug in your lifetime. You say, ah, come on, you're crazy. It can't happen. We're so isolated from that region. It'll never come over here. I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. I really hope you're right. But you know what I've determined? Might makes right. And they know it better than you know it. They know that by killing a good portion of the population in front of the fathers and mothers, butchering the children, that everyone's heart breaks and drops, and they'll convert the entire population with only a few small murders of families. That's what they've been doing for 1,000 years, and they figure it's working now. Why should they stop? France has done nothing. England has done nothing. Germany has done nothing. America has done nothing. Russia's done nothing. So what can be done? I don't know. What do we have an Air Force for? What the heck do we have a U.S. Air Force for? What is it for? What, to watch the Blue Angels fly over the Golden Gate Bridge? Tell me why we have a Navy and an Air Force if they're not used for anything. They're not being used for anything. I mean, a few Tomahawk missiles would help, wouldn't they? I know, I get it. There's always the other side. They may blow up the dam in Mosul, and then they'll flood southern Iraq.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing, and there's no federal intervention here.
Weekdays, noon till 3.
In particular, we agreed to step up our collective efforts against the corruption that costs African economies tens of billions of dollars every year, money that ought to be invested in the people of Africa. Several leaders raised the idea of a new partnership to combat illicit finance, and there was widespread agreement.
So Obama is starting a commission to fight corruption in Africa. Good for him. I wish he'd start in San Francisco. He should look into the corruption in contracting, in solar contracts, for example, going back to Solyndra. I mean, I'm all for fighting corruption, but I would start at home. I think charity begins at home. And I think that the president should invest in a new partnership to combat illicit finance in his own White House. I mean, there's widespread agreement in America that the corruption in America is at a new high, and there should be a collective effort against the corruption that costs American economies, the American economy, tens of billions of dollars every year. And the number one source of corruption in America today is illegal immigration. The number one source of corruption in this country is illegal immigration, and all of the support companies around illegal immigration, they're making a fortune off of it. So, yeah, I mean, charity begins at home, and he really ought to look into corruption right in San Francisco. Tunnels to nowhere, solar plants that produce a kilowatt of energy at a higher cost than a hydroelectric plant. That would be a good place to begin, but I doubt very much that they'll look into Treasure Island or the treasures of such treasure islands. Let's take some callers on the Savage Nation, 855-407-282. WMAL, Sharon, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm so glad you brought up that point about why Obama is funding the terrorists in Syria. It all has to do with oil. Assad did not want the pipeline flowing from Syria and Turkey through to the European Union. And he said no to that. So that's what made Obama fund the terrorists to overthrow Assad. They did that to try to hurt Russia.
Well, okay, that's certainly a viable theory. It's a valid one. It's as simple as reality. And reality is that the Russian pipeline ran through Syria. Syria is a client state of Russia. And if they can get Assad out of office, they can stop the flow of Russian oil. Yes, this is somewhat related to why they're backing the Ukrainians rather than the Russians. I agree with that, Sharon. That's a good analysis. See, I mean, you can fool some of the people some of the time. And some of the people all of the time. But you can't fool all of the people all of the time. As that listener just showed you, you can't fool her any of the time. She knows what's going on. WFTL in Washington, D.C. Susan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. This is the first time I've ever called any radio station. I've been listening to you for a long time. I was what you would consider, came up in the 60s, a bleeding heart liberal. Boy, have I changed. And I am appalled, absolutely appalled. First of all, he's never had any decent advisors around him. And he certainly he doesn't understand politics, really.
Well, he's the president. He got here by understanding how to manipulate politics and to manipulate the people. Let's not underestimate him. But the question is, how do you feel about the monster's ball in the White House?
You know, I think this country has had a rich history of supporting many, many monsters. But we don't ever talk about it. It's disgusting.
Well, give me an example of another president who had as many corrupt monsters in the White House at one time as Obama did in the White House the other night.
Absolutely.
Can you name one?
And I know you know everything. I really respect your knowledge. And
right, no, I don't know everything. I try to know as much as I can about things I'm trying to talk about. But I have never seen a president as lead-footed as this with regard to public relations. And the only reason he gets away with it is because the media dances around them for the obvious reason that he's a racial minority. And they're afraid of that, so they don't say one word about him for fear that they'll be called out in the newsrooms. I mean, that's what everyone says. Everyone says that when you talk to them, why he gets away with this.
In this day and age, I find anybody that wants to be president suspect.
All right, well, that's neither here nor there. Unfortunately, he wants to be president. He ran a second time. He wanted it so badly. He's enjoying it very much. I mean, where else do you get to use Air Force One to go golfing? Where else can you get such a transporter like that? Where else can you use an Osprey helicopter to transport your dog to Martha's Vineyard? Where else can you send your wife on vacation on Air Force One at full expense without any press permitted? Where else can you send your mother-in-law along with your wife and daughters at full taxpayer expense? It's really not a bad job. There's a lot of people who would like the job. A lot of people would like that job. So don't underestimate the perks of the presidency. Here's an interesting story that's nothing to do with Obama. Hundreds of authors condemn Amazon. I'm one of them. It's an interesting story. Many prominent Bay Area writers, among the more than 900 authors who signed an open letter condemning Amazon's boycott of Hachette authors over the online retailer's contractual dispute with the publisher. Now, I wasn't asked to sign it in the Bay Area because although I've written 6 New York Times bestsellers, I don't exist in the San Francisco area to the authors of the Bay Area. In other words, I haven't written a gay bestseller or a lesbian bestseller or an anti-American bestseller, but I've written 2 novels that were bestsellers and 4 nonfiction books that were bestsellers. And my new bestseller-to-be is coming out in October, and it's from Hachette, one of the divisions of Hachette. It's interesting. And I have a problem with Amazon because for the first time in my history as an author, I'm not going to be able to tell you to go to Amazon to buy the book and drive it to number one. And that's because Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is in a fight with Hachette over something to do with royalties or the price of books or whatever. And so the newspaper mentions authors I've never heard of who are on their list of important authors, including Bay Area authors who I've never heard of. I've outsold most of them. But again, as I say, as in the ex-Soviet Union, if you're not a Soviet, you didn't exist. But yet I have my own audience that buys my books. So this is an interesting story. The letter will appear as a full-page ad in Sunday's New York Times, being paid for by Authors United, blah, blah, blah. And what it is a problem. Amazon is fighting with Hachette over a fee base, something to do with fees. And I cannot tell you to go to Amazon to buy the book because it's not listed. They're not doing, not just me. All the Amazon, all of the Hachette authors are in a fight for their survival because of this. So I'm going to have to actually ask you to hold your fire to buy my book and go and buy it in a good old bookstore, incidentally. I need to make this book number one. You're going to have to do it for me. And the reason is that we have to send the message. I don't want to talk about it until after September. But that is an interesting story, that Hachette Amazon story. And it just shows you what greed, how greed kills. It just shows you how a greedy group like Amazon can, for, you know, it's very political when you think about it. What Amazon is doing to this one publisher, which is actually a family of publishing companies, shows you what power does. It corrupts a man's mind. Jeff Bezos has become drunk on his own power. And no matter what anyone says to him, like settle it, make it work, he won't do it. He wants to show how powerful he is. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Now, here's a guy who, by the way, who started as a struggling little company. And many of my books launched Amazon on the road to selling everything and becoming one of the world's largest corporations. I made Amazon a lot of money, by the way. I contributed to the growth of Amazon, as did the other Hachette authors. And yet this is how Jeff Bezos pays back the authors off who he lives. And so, no, this is an interesting story about power corrupting and absolute power corrupting absolutely. Chattanooga, Tennessee, Neil, on the topic of the people trapped on a mountaintop. Go ahead, please.
I think that the reason why they're trying to get a war started between Russia, the United States, and NATO is that they're trying to get the West to pretty much destroy itself. I mean, and after that, we'll see the, you know, a Muslim super.
Oh, God, I hope you're wrong. God, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong. I can't take it to that extreme. Even I have my limits. I don't think I can take that.
Well, if Russia, NATO, and U.S. go, we'll pretty much destroy each other. And
well, you know, it's funny you should bring it up because I've never mentioned this on any of my broadcasts over the years, but I know some pretty intelligent young people, and one of them once said to me something that I didn't even want to consider a possibility. He said, when you look at the deaths of 6 million in World War I, he said they were almost all white men. Not all, but almost all white men butchered each other. The English, the French, and the Germans almost all butchered each other in World War I. And then you look at the war deaths in World War II. Take a look at how many people were killed. Is it any wonder that in this vacuum, into this vacuum steps Islamofascism?
And they'll roll across Europe. First, Israel. I think Israel should bomb the hell out of the bottom of that mountain.
Well, I said last week, either stand with the Jews or worship with the Muslims. That was my saying, because Israel is on the front lines of the survival of the entire West. That's how I see it. It's Israel, right or wrong, at this point. They are on the front lines of the war against Islamofascism. Hamas is a blood brother, a cousin of ISIS. They have the same exact mindset. I agree with you. I agree with you on that one. Let's jump to New York City. Jackie on WABC, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you are the best. You say everything in a nutshell. I would listen to you over the best movie. Trust me. Everything you say is like a gift. And if people would just listen, this world would be a different place.
You sound like Joan Rivers. You're not Joan Rivers, are you?
Know that I love the way she said also.
Yeah, well, I liked it till she attacked Sarah Palin. And yesterday when I played that soundbite, I had a special statement about Joan Rivers. I think I said that in my day, the woman was cut out to be a brassiere fitter in Latvia. But, okay, we'll go on from that one. Thank you for the compliments. Yes, I try to speak succinctly. I learned that from my years as a young man, as a science writer. Did you know that I won an award in 1976 for outstanding science books for children? Do people know that? They don't know anything about my background. But in my training in graduate school, I had to learn to write succinctly. Science writing is very different than other writing. You have to boil everything down. Simplistic is not simplify. You can simplify things without becoming simplistic. There's a way to say things succinctly without going in circles. Sometimes I listen to people give a speech. I don't understand why they take so long to make a point. On and on and on, on and on and on and on. They mix your head up in a circle. It's not because they themselves don't know what they're talking about. In circles, around and around and around and around. Instead of boiling it down to what needs to be done. What needs to be done, you use America's military power to bomb ISIS into the Stone Age. Don't tell me you don't know where they are. Don't tell me you don't know whether you're going to hit them or hit civilians. Well, it's too bad already. Stop with the civilians every day. If you had this mentality in 1939 that Obama has today, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Question of the day is, would you support bombing of the Islamo-fascists in Iraq to save those 40,000 souls trapped in a mountaintop? We cannot ask the president because he's probably getting over the bender of partying with the African monsters. After all, I mean, look, these are big guys. They have a large appetite for their, you know, if you're 300 pounds, you need to drink a lot of Chardonnay, eat a lot of salmon. And in order to toast all of them, think about how much wine they had there. So it may take a few days for the president to decide whether to save them or even send them water. But I mean, what's there to think about? Every article says, U.S. weighs airstrikes or humanitarian aid. You mean he can't even decide to drop them water? Water bottles are too much for him. You hear this? Have you ever heard of anything like this in your life? You got 40,000 innocent people starving and parched to death on a mountaintop in Iraq, and President Zero doesn't know whether to drop them water. Why wouldn't he drop them water? Who would that hurt? You can't drop them water in a care package? A box of food? Tell me why he won't even drop them water. Can anyone answer that? That'll answer every question you ever had about President Zero. In other words, let's say it's an argument whether to use airstrikes against ISIS. There's a plus and a minus, a pro and a con. We know what they are. You don't know where they are. You don't know who you'll get. You might hit innocent civilians. The whole nervous Nelly business. That if we had leaders like this in World War II, you'd be speaking German and singing the Horst Wessel song. But put all those military questions aside. Is there any reason not to drop water and food to the mountaintop? Can you tell me why President Zero is taking so long to even drop water and food? The answer is because he's not sure whether he wants them to be forcibly converted to Islam or not. He's not sure whether he wants to antagonize ISIS, who are his allies, in his fight against Assad. Don't you understand the bigger picture? You got to learn to play chess. You got to see things in terms of the international events that are going on, not in terms of the individual event. Sometimes the individual event cannot be understood unless you understand the international event. The international event is such that ISIS is actually the ally of certain elements of the Obama administration. That's a possibility. In other words, I can't give you clearly black and white, this is what it is. As we learned yesterday in our discussion with Dr. Cohen, there may be several elements controlling the presidency or advising the presidency. And several of them may be saying, don't even drop those poor people on the mountain water or food, because we may want them to be converted to Islam. We may want to give that present to the monsters at the foot of the mountain, because then we'll get their support in taking out Assad. You think this is not possible, huh? You know, in World War II, we kept hearing that Roosevelt could have bombed the railroad tracks to Auschwitz to save the Jews who were being taken to Auschwitz. Remember those stories? Did anyone remember that? Over and over again. Oh, Roosevelt did nothing. He could have bombed the railroad tracks going to Auschwitz and the other death camps to stop the transportation of innocent humans into the death camps, right? Here you have innocent humans sitting on a mountaintop, and Obama won't do anything. He won't even drop them water. So don't think history is not instructive in this regard. It's very instructive. There's something more to this than meets the eye. There's far more to this than meets the eye. Why this president will not even drop them food and water is the only question you need to ask yourself when discussing this with your friends or yourself tonight. Forget about whether or not we should bomb the Islamo-fascists who have entrapped them on the mountaintop. Ask yourself why President Zero won't even drop them food or water, and then you'll have the answer to all of your questions. We have been abducted. We have been abducted by the Obama administration. That's my opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
In the face of that kind of dysfunction, what I can do is, you know, scour our authorities to try to make progress. And we're going to make sure that every time we take one of these steps, that we are working within the confines of my executive power. But I promise you, the American people don't want me just standing around twiddling my thumbs and waiting for Congress to get something done.
Yeah, we all want an executive monster in the White House. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Savage Nation. For 2 hours, we've talked about how do you feel about the Obama administration's African monster ball hanging around with some of the worst people on the planet in the White House. We then asked you if you would approve the bombing of the Islamo-fascists who are holding 40,000 poor religious minorities hostage atop of a mountain. But I changed it at the end of the hour to this question of why do you think Obama won't even drop them food and water? In other words, maybe it's controversial for the U.S. to use military power in Iraq at all. But is it controversial for our Air Force to airlift food and water to people who are dying of thirst on the top of a mountain? I mean, we rescue hikers, don't we? Why are they not rescuing these people? Why are the Christians in Iraq begging for help and no one's answering them? Why? And by the way, who's funding ISIS? Christians are under siege from ISIS. They appealed to the Pope, and the U.S. did nothing but issue a statement. Meanwhile, a report just came out that the Islamo-fascists known as ISIS, who they've changed to ISIL, are being funded by Kuwaiti networks. Again, the United States, this is coming out right now from worldtribune.com, and I'll read it to you because it's breaking news. U.S. Treasury reports ISIS funded by Kuwaiti networks social media appeals. The United States again identified Kuwait as a financier of Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. So what do we do about that? Tell me how we stop this. Kuwait is our ally, right? The latest financiers of the murderers were identified as Shafi al-Ajmai and Hajjaj al-Ajmi, both based in Kuwait and linked to al-Qaeda's Nusra Front for the Defense of Levant. Now, the question is, when will they be invited to the White House for a wine dinner? I'm sorry, they don't drink wine. The question is, when will Obama invite the financiers of ISIS to the White House for to break a hummus with them? I mean, that's all I'm asking is, when will they be invited to the White House for a toast on the Middle East, since he can invite African monsters to a ball? There's no reason he shouldn't invite fundraisers for ISIS to the White House, since they're our allies in the fight against Assad, right? I mean, you do understand there's a bigger picture as to why he's not doing anything while the people are screaming for help. Here's another news story just came out. Islamo-fascist advance in Iraq prompts U.S. to suspend deliveries of F-16s and Apaches. Washington dated today, the United States suspended delivery of military aircraft to Iraq. And that's because the Iraqi military is not capable of protecting our planes amid the advance of the Islamo-fascists of Iraq and the Levant. The officials are saying that they're not sending them the planes. And by the way, they were going to send them 36 F-16s and 24 H-64 Apache attack helicopters. So thank God somebody in the administration stopped the shipment of these F-16s and Apaches. I'm sure there was a big fight over the dinner as to whether we should ship them or not. I mean, after all, the manufacturers didn't want this blocked. What the heck are they going to do with F-16s since we don't use them? We don't use Apaches anymore. They're nothing. Maybe they can turn them into coffee tables. Maybe. Wait a minute. I have an idea. The F-16s and Apaches could be sent to various locations in America, stripped of their military hardware, and turned into housing for illegal children. Because as Biden said, they're not anyone else's children. They're our children. So we could turn the F-16s and the Apaches into, well, if not housing, let's say they're a little cold at night. Maybe they could be turned into playhouses for the children from Guatemala. That would be a good use for the Apaches. Maybe one of the senators from San Francisco, maybe they have a husband who could buy them a 10 cents on the dollar and convert them to playhouses for the illegal alien children, because I'm sure they have their finger in the pie housing them, feeding them, clothing them, medicating them, giving them legal help. Now, sure, if you look carefully, you find out that some of our esteemed congresspeople have family members who are benefiting from the illegal alien surge into the United States of America. It's a snowball, by the way. Let's go to John in Utah. John in Utah, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
On the Yazidi who are stuck on the mountaintop. That's going to be a real genocide, an actual genocide where people are going to disappear forever, as opposed to this fake genocide that we keep hearing about in Gaza. This will be a culture that will be eradicated, just like Islam has always done.
Islam destroys everything in its path. It never coexists, not in the current form of Islam. It does not coexist with religions except when it has to. Once it gains the power, it will crush the surrounding religions in conversion or killing.
Absolutely.
And so the question is, why do you think Obama's not even sending them bottles of water?
Well, I think that they've written off, or they've accepted that the Middle East belongs to Sunni Muslims, and if you're Christian, if you're any denomination that's being persecuted by Islam, they don't care, because they can, accepted that, okay, they'll make a block, a tower.
You know, when Obama pulled our troops out of Iraq in December 14th, 2011, in a speech at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, President Zero said that the United States was, quote, leaving behind a sovereign, stable, and self-reliant Iraq with a representative government that was elected by its people, close quote. President Zero went further. He said Iraq's future will be in the hands of its people. America's war in Iraq will be over. That's what he said. Now, of course, Iraq is falling apart. Christians are being killed. Now these poor individuals I never heard of. I mean, I'm not going to make believe I know who they are, because I can pronounce the name because I just read it on Wikipedia, Yazidi. They're being killed by the Sunni Islamo-fascists armed with U.S. weapons. And these Sunni Islamo-fascists armed with U.S. weapons, which they seized and which were given to them, are the very same people as the rebels in Syria that Obama and McCain have been telling us they want to arm to overthrow Assad. Do you understand that we may have armed these rebels, so-called? Why is the White House debating dropping aid to the individuals? Why are they not trying to stop a Holocaust right in front of our eyes? Why would Obama, the humanitarian, the incompetent Obama, not drop them food and water? Why have the Democrats, who tell us about human rights every day, not said one word about dropping food and water? Is there, if I were a senator, I would filibuster around the clock. I wouldn't stop talking. I would drink energy drinks around the clock. I would get up in Congress, and I would not stop speaking. And all I would say is, Mr. President, there is no excuse for you not to be dropping food and water. While a military option is certainly debatable, there is no debate about dropping these poor people food and water. Mr. President, I implore you, drop them food and water now. Mr. President, You'll have to answer to the United States of America why you would not rescue these 40,000 people. Mr. President, can you tell us why you will not drop them food and water? Mr. President, their blood will be on your hands. Mr. President, you're going to witness the death of 40,000 innocent people. Mr. President, drop them food and water today. That's what I would do with Senator Savage. I would not stop until my voice stopped working. And yet we see not one such individual in Congress doing this. Rand Paul, Rand Paul hasn't said one word. The ice cream man cometh, he didn't say a word. Rubio has a vowel on his last name, suddenly he's a presidential material. In my day, if he could run a Carvel stand, it would have been a big deal. Marco Rubio, a genius, another genius they discovered. Unbelievable. Where are they? Where are the leaders of the Republican Party on this? I'm sorry, they're on vacation. Pardon me, they're fly fishing in Guatemala. Where are they? Where are the Republicans? Where's John Boehner? The people are dying on a mountaintop. He can't come back from vacation? I didn't go on vacation. Somebody has to save them. Somebody has to say to President Zero, there's no excuse for you not to drop food and water. See, if I were running for president, this is a no-brainer. You can't lose with this one. This is a no-brainer. Hillary Clinton, where is she? She wants to be president? She destroyed the Middle East. At least she could make up for some of it. She can come out and say, you know, Mr. President, while the military option is debatable, there is no option as to whether or not we should drop food and water. Why are you not dropping food and water? If I were president, I would immediately authorize the U.S. Air Force to run humanitarian missions around the clock until these people have sufficient food and water to stave off death by starvation or hunger, starvation or dying of thirst. Why is there no word about these people? Why is there not one word from all of the professional civil rights activists, the professional frauds in the human rights business? Where are all the professional frauds in the human rights business who are saying nothing about the people on the top of a mountain? Where are the professional liars on the left about Obama's monster African ball with homophobes and murderers? Where were the so-called feminists? Where were the so-called homosexual activists? The answer was they were never really interested in anything except decimating the Republican Party. That's all they ever cared about. WMAL, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. ISIS needs to be wiped out. Now, they're not a normal army. They're a snowball army. For every city and village that they go into, they induct young kids to be soldiers. It's not a draft or anything like that. They just tell them, you know, you're going to shoot the enemy what we tell you, or we're going to shoot you. So they grow as they go. They're very dangerous.
Well, they are. That's right. And people don't understand that this is nothing new. And I have to go back to history again. And I have to go back to Muhammad. Muhammad said that he wanted to simply organize the subjugation of the whole world to Allah. And he did it with small armies of 1,000 to 3,000 or 4,000 Arabs, according to historians. Small armies conquering small cities one by one. Today it's Paris, tomorrow it's New York. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity. The life expectancy of the Russian male is around 60 years old. The population is shrinking.
Yeah, President Zero is sure on the ball. He's done such a fabulous job here in the United States of America. In protecting our borders, our language, and our culture, and our national economy, that he's now on to the international world. And he's a genius, as you well know. There was an elected leader of Ukraine called Viktor Yanukovych, he was overthrown because McCain, the instigator, was sent over there in December when Russia could do nothing during the Olympics, stirred up the masses, along with the fascist right in, or call him a fascist, anything you want, in Ukraine, a long-standing element of Ukraine. Certainly not all those who want independence from Russia are fascists, don't get me wrong. But as you well know, there's a very, very strong fascist history in Ukraine. Look at World War II. So they combine with the girls with the tight pants, as I've told you before, with the iPhones that seem to attract the attention of those at CNN and Fox. And with McCain, the warmonger, stirring them on, he fled. Yanukovych fled. And as a result, there was an illegitimate parliament that was elected. Well, put in place, God knows what. And the first thing it did was try to kick the Russian sympathizers out or tell the Russian sympathizers to join them. And not everyone agrees with these positions. Some in Ukraine want much closer ties with Russia for linguistic and cultural reasons. And then the U.S. enters the picture. And what is it really about? Why? What is this really about? Why is U.S. meddling in Ukraine? Why? Why is Kerry meddling in Ukraine? Why? What's it all about? Why is Russia now on the brink of a hot war with the United States? Why? Tell me why. I can tell you why. It's a very dangerous game that's being played on both sides right now. America and the EU have chosen aggression and intimidation of Russia as a first resort. They started with sanctions, not realizing that Russia was still a powerful nation with options. And today, Russia, yesterday and today, has responded with their own sanctions. What's the standoff about? Tell me what it's about. Well, it's about oil. That's what it's about. It's about oil. It's about exploiting the resources under the ground in that portion of Ukraine that is closely associated with Russia. And Obama is just basically doing the bidding of those who want him to say what he's saying. But I personally, from one man's perspective, we don't have any issue there. It's not our business. Let's listen to clip number 8, where General Keane has something to say about the Cold War that Obama has initiated. Listen to this.
While many people are kind of questioning whether we're in a Cold War or not, I know the president doesn't believe so. I think Putin absolutely is convinced he is. He is starting it. And he wants to finish it and win it on his terms because he clearly wants to be the most dominant country in Europe.
Okay, that's an American military man. I could respect his position. It would be from the American military perspective. But he does acknowledge that there was a Cold War that was reinitiated. And Obama's certainly not throwing cold water on the Cold War. Let's put it to you that way. Does that work for you? No, President Zero is not throwing cold water on the Cold War. He's putting a flame under the Cold War to get it to a boiling point. And so we risk this turning into a hot war. Remember, things happen by accident. We could be backed into a war without even wanting it. Do you understand how wars start? Again, I refer you to World War I. It was an accidental war. It led to the deaths of millions, which led to World War II, which led to the deaths of tens of millions. And here we are, 100 years later, and apparently the geniuses who run the world learn nothing from history. And let me remind you of what the Spanish philosopher Santayana, not the musician, wrote. But he wrote this: those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Well, apparently we have those who are...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Latest information is that ISIL has advanced on Mosul Dam and taken control of it. We are extremely concerned by this development. The dam is a vital part of Iraq's infrastructure as it controls water levels on the Tigris River. It's also a key source of water and electricity generation for the Iraqi people.
See, another college chick is telling us what's going on. They changed it from ISIS to ISIL now. In case you already came to hate ISIS, they changed it overnight to ISIL. That sort of sounds like icicle, something friendly, without telling you who they really are. But again, a college chick. I mean, they must be shaking in their boots, given the president's constant partying, the entertainment of warlords and mass murderers in the White House last night, and now a college chick talking about the dangers to this displaced minority people on the mountaintop in Iraq. I'm sure they're shaking in their boots when they hear the college girls talk about doing something. We don't know what yet. But we'll think about it. After all, it's only a countdown to Martha's Vineyard is very close now. I think the countdown has started, and they need to wrap this up as quickly as possible before they flood America with 30 million illegal aliens. But if you look at the history of the world and how fast Mohammedism took over the world, you have to understand how it was done. I keep repeating it to you. They didn't do it with nuclear weapons. They did it with small armies, as I told you. It was small armies of 1,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 Arabs. Little armies, according to the letters written by Muhammad himself from Medina in 628. Muhammad set out, by the way, to organize the subjugation of the entire world to Islam. Did you hear what I said? Because if you don't understand this, you are really condemned. You're condemned to a horrendous fate. If you don't understand what war we have been in for 30 years now or more, if you don't understand why Johnny came marching home with broken legs or no arms and you send money to the wounded warriors, God bless you if you do, and you don't know who they were fighting, then we're in worse shape, infidels, than I could ever imagine. The whole world is at the risk of being subjugated to Mohammedans right now. Right now, France is in the throes of an Islamic takeover. Jews are fleeing France because they brought in Algerians to do the dirty work 30 years ago. And the sons of these workers, does it sound familiar in America? Pay attention. They brought in cheap labor from Algeria and Northern Africa in France 30 years ago to do the dirty work that the Frenchmen wouldn't do. And the sons of these Frenchmen don't want to work. Instead, they want to turn Paris into the hellhole they ran away from. And so who do they pick on first? The Jews. Instead of Germans marching to the Horst Wessel song, you've got Muslims marching to their own drummer. And now in America, what is it? Well, we have nothing to worry about. After all, France is a smaller country. It has 6.5 million Muslims. But what's the rate of immigration of Muslims into this country? And how many of them will be radical Islamists? You think the government knows? How many Muslims are being led into this country per year by this administration? How many radical Islamists are coming over the border with Barack Obama's open door policy to the Mexican border? How many members of Al-Qaeda have already snuck into this country as a result of this administration's insanity? No one has an answer to that. So now you look at the whole world and you say the world is in flames. What is going on? You can't follow it all. Well, I can follow most of it. I can follow most of it. You could summarize it quite simply. No matter where you look, radical Islam is engaged in a new crusade. They are engaged in a worldwide crusade, including in this country. Sometimes they act through political means. Sometimes they act through military means, but they do act. And they're relentless. And they've never stopped since Muhammad was born. And that is what the West is facing today. A house divided cannot stand. And the reason we're not standing is because we're divided. We've been divided by the most divisive president in American history. And now we wake up and we find out that there are 40,000 poor people trapped on a mountaintop in Iraq because of Obama's failed policies in Iraq. Yes, I blame it on Obama because he withdrew troops too quickly and he did not leave a force behind sufficient to protect the Sunni triangle. And by the way, let me give you a little more history about what's going on over there. You hear the acronym ISIS like they're nice people. ISIS sounds like ice cream, right? They're the most brutal murderers on the planet, but they're in a long tradition of Mohammedans going back 1,000 years. You see, the way the Mohammedans took over a good portion of the world was not through the teachings of love and peace in their holy book, but through the use of small armies, usually of 1,000 or fewer in number, who conquered one group after another with the most brutal imaginable horrors. That's exactly what they're doing now. They're in the great tradition of the Mohammedans of the past, and we're doing nothing. So we wake up today and see this 40,000 Yazidi, which is a small religious sect, an ancient religion that is linked to Zoroastrianism, and of course, it doesn't matter what they're linked to. The U.S. is now saying they're weighing airstrikes or humanitarian aid to these people dying on a hilltop. They're dying, they have no water, they have no food, and he's entertaining African warlords in the White House with a state dinner. What's he waiting for? Right now they are the Yazidi. They have been decimating Christians. That is the ISIS group. The Sunni Islamic fascists have been killing Christians, blowing up churches. They're armed with United States weapons, which they seize. But there's another thing you should know. These are the rebels. These are the rebels from Syria that Obama and McCain have wanted to arm to overthrow Assad. Did you know that? All this talk about arming the rebels over the last year or two was arming ISIS. Did you know that? You didn't know that, right? Because your newspaper didn't connect the dots for you. These are the rebels that McCain has been foaming at the mouth to arm for well over a year and a half to overthrow Assad. These are the rebels that Obama has probably secretly armed through the CIA in Syria. You say, well, they captured most of this weaponry. Did they capture it all, or was some of it given to them by the CIA in order to overthrow Assad? Is this another example of this college crowd gone wild? Is this yet another example of the college girls around Obama who have never fired a Daisy BB gun, now taking over the military and decimating the world and doing everything wrong? It would be laughable if it was a comic strip. But this is not a comic strip. It's a world spinning out of control. And while it's going on, President Zero entertains dictators, homophobes, and monsters from Africa at a state dinner. Imagine if you woke up tomorrow and we had the equivalent of Nixon, where Obama says he has to resign owing to the level of scandals, and it threatens to destroy not only the party but the nation. He's resigning. Wow, how many flags would go out on how many balconies in this country? Fireworks would go off. Imagine a day like that. Why don't you visualize Obama resigning like Nixon did? Just visualize that. Let's use a 60s, 70s tactic. Visualize Obama resigning and America finally breathing free, breaking the shackles of this monstrous presidency. Monstrous. I've never seen anything like this. Anyway, I'm going to stop right there because that's Obama bashing, and we don't do that in the Savage Nation. I mean, we should. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing it. He's is worse than what I say. But if you do it, people turn the radio off. I was on vacation. I listened. I didn't want to hear it. And you can only take so much. It's like Ebola deniers now. They don't know Ebola from Shinola, but they're sure you can't get it because the nice doctors in white shirts told them there's nothing to worry about. They're experts on virology. They're experts on epidemiology. They're experts on tropical diseases all of a sudden. The only thing missing from this whole debate has been one of the actors talking about it. Like Sean Penn telling us that Ebola is perfectly safe, or Geraldo Rivera saying that he'll prove beyond a reasonable doubt that his mustache cannot contain any Ebola virus, even if he was exposed to it. I mean, it's crazy. Where are they? Where are the actors now that we don't need them? That's why people do turn to sports and entertainment, to be honest. Not that they're all stupid. How much can they take? How much can the average person take? And now you wake up, the same morons who say nothing about TB coming over the border are now assuring you not to worry about bringing Ebola to America because we're in charge. We're keeping a close eye on the Ebola. We're going to be very watchful. And what if it breaks out? What are they going to say then? We're sorry? Whoops. Unbelievable to me. Obama saying that Russia produces nothing. I love that. Man, Russia produces nothing here. Yeah?
I do think it's important to keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity.
That's really diplomatic of the president, you got to admit. Really high level. And in a Beavis and Butthead voice on top of it all. Why are they pushing the United States into this situation when really we have nothing? What does it have to do with us? Would Russia withdrawing from that? Let's start with the obvious questions here. Let's say Russia backs down and Ukraine is now one country. How do we benefit from that? Answer, we don't. Let's say after that, Ozero brings NATO troops to the border of Russia. How do we benefit from that? We don't. Let's say after that, Ozero brings the 7th Fleet to Crimea and gets into a battle with the Russian Navy and forces them to withdraw from Crimea. How do we benefit from that? The answer is none of the above do we benefit from. Zero. So President Zero is in a zero-sum game. There's nothing to be gained from this. Nothing. This is at the same time he's decimated our borders, language, and culture. He's telling us to be concerned about Ukrainians' right to self-determination. Does that make sense to you? Tell me what sense that makes to you. Put aside what you think of me in general. Let's say you're a thinking person on the left. Tell me what we have to gain from this. That's what I want to know. Then he says immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow. He says, you hear this? Let me repeat again, Mr. President. Everything Moscow threw out from socialism, you've picked up as though it's recently discovered. All of the perks of socialism that destroyed the Soviet Union, that they threw out to invest in a free market economy, you have picked up as though you just discovered it with your stooges there in the White House. Of course immigrants come here. Wouldn't you come to a place that was stupid enough to give you everything for free? Where 50-some percent of the population does nothing? Of course you'd come to America if you could sit on your fat behind and have government agents give you everything. And you could earn money off the books. Of course you'd come to a country like that. So don't get me started here. Oh, just visualize waking up one morning and the headlines across America say Obama resigns. The scandals got so great that his own party pushed him out. Yeah, right. Right, sure. But visualize it anyway. It's good for your mental health. The war in the Middle East is now over. It's now officially over. Nobody won. It was a standoff. And all of the morons in the media can do is add up how many civilians died on each side as though there's an equality. Remember we were trying to teach you over the years about the dangers of moral equivalency that the left was putting out? Like the number of cops killed on duty as opposed to the number of criminals that were killed being apprehended. Like there was a moral equivalency. Remember they were doing this to us for 25 years, the psychopathic professors of the left? Well, they just did it to you in the Middle East. The Middle East gave you a moral equivalency. The number of those dead in Gaza, the number of those dead in Israel. Like there's a moral equivalency. Totally equal to them. Okay, you get the picture? You finally got it? Well, let's leave it at that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. As we come to the end of hour number three today in the Savage Nation, the world is in greater turmoil than it's ever been in my lifetime. And I repeat that in case you don't understand it. Minority Christian sects are running for their lives in Iraq. Other minority religions are running for their lives in Iraq because Islamofascists are out of control, threatening to kill them unless they convert to Islam. Our president does nothing but party with African monsters while this is going on. That's right, you heard me. Headline story out of England. Nowhere in America did this story get played other than on the Drudge Report. Obama, welcome to the White House. Our house, our White House, African dictators who killed many thousands, as well as homophobes who kill homosexuals. Not one word from the so-called gay community, not one word from the so-called feminist community, not one word from any of the professional leftists out there, not one word. This is very worrisome. Why is he not lifting a finger to take out ISIS, meaning the Islamofascists who have seized the Sunni Triangle? Why is he doing nothing while Christians are dying? Even the Pope is begging for the U.S. to do something. France is doing nothing. The West is paralyzed while genocide goes on. Today we talked about the genocide of a communist regime many, many years ago in Cambodia called the Khmer Rouge. And I talked about the Cambodian genocide, which resulted from the enforcement of its communist social engineering and what it led to as a result of the bureaucrats taking over the country. The Khmer Rouge was so leftist that they wanted to eliminate anyone suspected of involvement in free market activities. Suspected capitalists encompassed anyone with eyeglasses. They were arrested, they were worked to death, and then they were killed. The Khmer Rouge killed many intellectuals, city dwellers, minority people, even members of their own party and soldiers who were suspected of not being pure enough, politically pure enough. The Khmer Rouge believed that parents were tainted with capitalism, so they took children away from their parents, indoctrinated them in communism, and taught them torture methods with animals. Children became a, quote, dictatorial instrument of the party, close quote, and the kids were given leadership in torture and executions of people after they trained on animals. One of their mottos was, quote, to keep you is no benefit, to destroy you is no loss. It started as an organization of young communists, anti-capitalists. Exactly what is going on now in the United States of America. Pol Pot was a key leader in this movement after he returned to Cambodia from France where he had become a member of the French Communist Party, which gave him all the ideas of the Khmer Rouge. And look what it led to. The reason I'm telling you the story about the Khmer Rouge today is because it began with a community organizer who was a professor who went to Paris and became enraptured with communism. And look what it led to. It led to genocide. Be very careful of the anti-capitalist talk. Be very, very careful of the talk against the bourgeoisie. Be very careful of people who talk about wanting to eliminate capitalism. Be very careful of the fact that things can often get out of control. These communist movements have always led to the death of millions of people. It's no different today. And the rhetoric of today coming out of the White House and from his minions is very dangerous indeed. Infidels, thank you for giving me 15 minutes, and I hope I've given you America on the Savage Nation.
Savage.